IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you've just after joining us. Coming up very shortly, we have Community Garda information and appeals include burglary in Creasler, an attempted burglary in Burnfoot, an assault in Farn, a traffic collision in Clonmany, dangerous driving instances in Letterkenny, and some of your questions from last week. So that's coming up in Community Garda information shortly. Greg, we all know what mess Leo Varadkar left behind. He's safe now. He gave the responsibility to Simon Harris to sort out. When do we hear the Irish national anthem being played? Government has a big part to play in that, pleasing other nationalities instead. They should be promoting our heritage and culture, not getting rid of it. Okay, I heard it on Sunday, but I take your point. Decky Jordan spoke very well on what people of the town are thinking about that stretch of road. Accidents waiting to happen, serious overspend, no one answerable. Where are the local councillors? They're being very quiet in relation to what? I mean, we speak quite extensively to them on this show and the local news. If you'd be a wee bit more specific, we can chase it up. Let me see. Can the council take control of the lights at the Polestar in the case of an emergency to let traffic flow? That would solve the traffic problem. I'm thinking, how would it? Where would you free the traffic to? Right, I see the point that you're saying. So on the four lanes coming in, you would stop all traffic and then have whichever route to the hospital green. I'm not sure. It sounds like it might work. I don't know. I'd have to think about that a little more. I'm listening and thinking back on our Irish history and all the invasions down through the centuries, says this listener. Russia, with full military force, invaded Ukraine, but I see an invasion of Ireland in a way that is called something else instead of an invasion. At the rate things are panning out today, there'll be very little of our Irish values and culture in 20 years' time. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and our government is doing it by stealth, curtailment of freedom of speech, etc. It's just one way of suppressing debate. But we debate all the time, and we will continue to have these debates on shows like this. But I do take your wider point.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
Okay, it is time for Community Garda information, and we're joined this week by Garda Sean Sweeney down from Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, thanks very much as always for joining us.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
We'll get straight on to it, and unfortunately, there seems to be a trend developing. We're talking about a burglary in Creasler.
Yeah, this occurred at St. Michael's Church in Creasler on Sunday, the 12th of May, between the hours of 12:40 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. It is believed the entries gained the building via a rear open door. A locked office door in the church was forced open and some money was stolen from within. So appeal to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity around the church on Sunday, may contact a Gardaí. And we're anxious to progress this investigation. So anybody who has any information that can assist us, please contact Milford on 915-3060 or the confidential line 1800-666-111.
Okay, and it is a worrying, isn't it, that, listen, any crime's worrying, of course, but just the fact that every week we seem to be talking about churches or chapels being targeted.
Yeah, it is worrying. It's a community, you know, area as well, like, so.
Yeah, for sure, I agree. Okay, an attempted burglary, this time in Burnfoot.
Yeah, it's an attempted burglary. The house was in the area of Tube and Upper in Burnfoot. It's occurred in the early hours of Monday the 13th of May at approximately 4:55 a.m., the resident house got up early and turned on the outside lights. The man, who was wearing dark clothing, gloves and his hood was up, was seen looking in the side window of the house. He took off immediately on foot. So from viewing the CCTV, we've established this man was trying to open the front door of the property. He didn't gain entry and nothing was stolen. So if anybody was travelling in that area in the early on Monday morning and they had dash cam footage, we asked them please make it available to us. Or if anybody observes suspicious activity in the area of Tube and Upper, that morning, we'd like to hear from them in Buncrana on 93205 40.
Colleagues in Buncrana also investigating a situation in Farn.
Yeah, received a report of disturbance at that location on Wednesday the 8th of May, approximately 3:40 p.m. Upon arrival, Gardaí met a man who sustained injuries as a result of an alleged assault. He was taken to hospital for medical treatment. So we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed the incident at the marina on that date, may contact us. We also appeal to anybody who travelled in the Fawn area that day between 3:15 p.m. and 4 p.m. who may have dashcam footage to make it available to Gardaí Macrana on 9320540.
Investigations are ongoing into the alleged hit and run in Clonmany, Sean.
Yeah, it's occurred in Main Street, Clonmany, in the early hours of Sunday the 12th of May. At approximately 12:15 a.m, a male pedestrian, he was aged in his 60s, was struck by a vehicle which left the scene, the collision. He was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital and has since been transferred to Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, where he remains in a critical condition. So a result of investigations, the male driver of the vehicle, aged in his 30s, was identified. He was arrested, charged and brought before the courts. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this collision to make contact with us. Also, anybody who travelled in the area with dashcam footage, this is between midnight and 12:30 a.m, we ask them to make a footage available to us. You can contact Gardaí Macrana on 9320540 or again the confidential line 1800 666 111.
So the emphasis there is, while obviously it is progressing, it's still a very active and busy Garda investigation and all information being gathered. So if someone believes that their information is no longer useful, you want to hear from them.
Because exactly, Greg, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, dangerous driving instances in Letterkenny's led to this appeal.
Yeah, so we're appealing for witnesses to a number of incidents of dangerous driving that occurred in the Circular Road in Ballyrane and Woodlands area of Letterkenny on May the 9th. These incidents involved one car and they occurred approximately 2:20 p.m. and 2:40 p.m. between those times. The car in question is a grey 520 BMW. So if anybody witnessed these incidents involving the car, it captures any of these incident dashcam footage, we ask you to contact us. We're also aware of the number of pedestrians in the area and at the time, and some of these may want to contact us in relation to a witness statement. So a man was arrested in connection to these incidents, and the car in question has been seized. So if you can help our investigation, any relevant information, contact Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay. Now, to some questions, and this is ever-present. What is the law on cyclists on footpaths, especially on the main street of Letterkenny, as it's become very dangerous and this caller believes someone will get hurt?
So since 2015, the laws governing cycling have been regulated into specific fixed charge offences. So Gardaí have the power to stop and fine a cyclist if they commit a fixed charge offence. However, cycling on a footpath is not under the fixed charge penalty notice. However, there are other laws that include it as an offence. So you're not allowed to cycle on the footpath unless there is a designated lane on the footpath or unless you're entering or exiting a property. So although there's not a fixed charge offence, if the Garda deems the cycling to be without reasonable consideration, there is a fine for this of €40.
Okay. A caller says, what's being done about the increasing amount of men using the public seats in Letterkenny in particular along the Pierce Road to be drinking spots? Drinking on the streets in Letterkenny is against the law, yet it's increasing by the day and nothing appears to be getting done about it. Last night was the tip of the iceberg for me. While out for my usual walk along Ballyrane Road, I met a group of men with bottles in hand. They were shouting abuse at everyone who passed. I was alone, but luckily I saw a man with a dog and followed up close to him so I could shout if something happened. What's going on?
So, look, you can't drink on the streets in Letterkenny. There's bylaws in place that prohibit this by law. So should anybody come across any street drinking in Letterkenny or abusive behaviour at any location, we advise them please contact the Garda station in Letterkenny immediately on 9167100 or the local station if it happened in any other area.
And the reality is that Gardaí can only respond if they are notified.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
you're encouraging people, if like that lady, you felt threatened and you witnessed this type of activity, contact the station.
Yeah, I presume
absolutely. A patrol car will be sent
straight away, and we'll get somebody there to deal with it.
All right, very exciting date for the diary. It is May the 20th, Donegal Town. It's the Donegal Garda Youth Awards.
That's right. These are taking place in the Abbey Hotel, as you said, on May the 20th at 7 p.m. It's an invite-only event. The overall owners will be announced on that date and they'll go on to represent Donegal at the national level. So every young person who's nominated will receive a certificate. We look forward to meeting all the young people at the ceremony with their family members. So I'd just like to thank the Joint Policing Committee and Donegal County Council for sponsoring this year. The Joint Policing Committee will dissolve this year. There's a new Community Safety Bill coming to force, so we'd like to thank them sincerely for their support and sponsorship over the past few years. We'd also like to welcome additional sponsors, Supermax Ireland. So Supermax have one premises at Donegal, is situated at the Donegal service station, just off the Drumlanagher Road, around about in Donegal town. So us, the Supermax, are based in Donegal Town. We've decided to host the Youth Awards and ceremony there this year. And so without the generosity of sponsors, we wouldn't be in a position to go on with these type of events. We also would really like to thank the Abbey Hotel for hosting this and their sponsorship and generosity this year and providing us with the venue.
Hold on a second before you go on. The only thing Grania didn't get you to do here is go tasty and turn. That's the only thing she hasn't asked you to do.
And in fairness, she cut that down a bit.
Hey, come here, listen. It's great to have them on board. It's all good news. Right, you want to thank the Abbey Hotel too, of course.
The Abbey Hotel, yeah, because it's providing the venue this year. And again, I'd like to thank you, Greg, for agreeing to MC.
Yeah.
Of course, we're very grateful for that.
It's exciting, can't wait.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And look, the winners will be announced after the ceremony, our Facebook page, and on here after the event.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Sean, well done to you as always. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you,
I appreciate that. That's Garda Sean Sweeney from the Buncrana Garda Station. And don't forget, you can watch or listen back to that item on the Garda Hugh Connell Facebook page and our Facebook pages a little later on today. It's on the podcast, of course, but it's back live with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Again, Garda Sean Sweeney, thank you very much indeed. Dakota Nee McMenamin's a Sinn Féin candidate for the local elections in the Lifford Stranola area. Good morning, Dakota. Nice to speak to you. Our first time speaking, I think.
It is, yeah. Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Fair play to you and everybody else who's stuck their head above the parapet and running for local office. I hold you all in high admiration. Right, you want to talk about houses in the Broca Glenfinn area. What's going on there?
Yeah, so there's about 40 residents or so that have no access to public water, so they have no running water. They're all currently using wells, and the concerned residents were telling us on the doors that, like, when summertime comes around, that they just dread it because they just have no water and the wells dry up.
Is there any movement, calls or progress being made in maybe the council taking over this estate? Is it a private estate? Is that an option?
It's just houses, so it's not estates or nothing.
I understood, right, okay, I get you.
So it's in a few different areas, so like Letterbrick and a few other areas.
Understood.
It seems to be there's just an issue because some of the houses near to it are getting water from the Fentown area and then the rest are getting it from this LEA, so it's kind of trying to merge the two and get a pipe to go between the two water systems.
And is it a case too that the infrastructure is there but needs upgrading, increased pressure, maybe a pump installed at some point?
Yeah, a pump would be ideal, yeah, definitely. There is other issues in the other side of Glenfinn as well, but there have been new valves replaced and there is pressure testing going on at the minute, which will last another 6 to 8 weeks, so...
You want the other side of town, effectively, to have the same sort of attention as that. Okay, I get you. Right, so, okay. I presume you're using the offices of Piers Doherty to try and progress this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else you want to add, Dakota?
No, that's about it. Just that they're struggling to get planning permission, too, to try build anything new.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. It's a
There's no water.
Problem. All right, okay, exactly. Poor infrastructure means... hindered development. All right, good point. Thanks very much indeed. That's Dakota Nee McMenamin there. Back to some more of your comments here. Greg, read the planning of the road out of the town. Did the councillors not look at the plans before it went ahead? There's no reason that cars can't pull into the cycle lane. All needs to be done is the concrete bollards in certain sections to be replaced with lower rubble alternatives. I've seen many instances in Dublin and other busy towns where the road is much narrower. Traffic pulls up on the footpath in the event of an ambulance trying to get through. The central bollard will prevent head-on collisions. A new bridge alleviates the issues. Yeah, you've touched on quite a lot there. Is it not, though, something of a failure of design, and this is just a question, not a statement, is it not something of a failure of design, though, that you spend so much money on a project that overran in cost to such an extent, and then the solution is that cars pull up on the footpaths or the cycle lanes where pedestrians use? It just doesn't, it just feels, as I say, like almost admitting defeat if one were to go down that route. But again, by the way, that's not a criticism of that suggestion. I think we have to come up with some suggestions. Decky talks about the town plans. I have a glossy booklet drawn up for one of the council's town planning meetings. In this plan, the bus hub is shown where Glenealy House is. Now, yet Glenealy House owners are getting planning permission to build a huge new apartment complex plus shopping units. So how does this tie in with creating a much-needed bus hub town plan? Glossy magazines, well, I presume that can be changed. Morning, Greg. While driving into Letterkenny early on Sunday morning, I've had to drive behind cyclists on the road between the Dry Arch and Polestar while the cycle lane is not being used. Indeed, and I do know and understand that that is a great frustration by some out there. And also, you know, cyclists can have their say as well. Right, I think we're ready to join our next guest. He is Kevin McQuaid. Kevin Quaid. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for your time. How are you keeping?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Kevin. Now, you have been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. That diagnosis came at just the age of 53, and that was in an addition, is it, to an earlier Parkinson's diagnosis. Can you talk to us, though, a little bit about Lewy body dementia, please?
Yeah. It's been called the most common dementia unknown to humans, if that makes sense. It's Alzheimer's is obviously number one, and Lewy body dementia is number two. And then you have vascular dementia, and then you have frontotemporal lobe dementia. But when people hear the word dementia, including myself, the first day I was diagnosed, I was told I had Lewy body dementia. I didn't hear Lewy, I didn't hear body, I had dementia. And I thought, hang on a second, this has to be wrong. I don't have memory problems. Far from it. Because I thought, like so many people, that dementia equaled Alzheimer's equaled memory loss. But dementia, I suppose the best way of describing it, Greg, would be dementia is like the word cancer in that it's just an umbrella term for so many different types.
It's a broad church, isn't it?
Exactly. There's a discrepancy, but this is a big discrepancy, whether there's between two and 400 different types of dementias there actually.
So can you talk to us then about Lewy body dementia? Like, how does this affect you and others?
Right. By the biggest problems you would have could be visual hallucinations. I haven't been able to drive in 7 years because I would see cars coming against me and see people walking. I could see animals on the road. I could see people around the house. The fear that goes with it, the paranoia that goes with it is... It's actually hard to describe, but I suppose the most horrific part of it is a thing called REM sleep behavioural disorder. When you go to sleep at night, your muscles paralyse. But when I go to sleep at night, my muscles don't paralyse. So if I'm having a nightmare where I'm actually murdering people or there's nothing ever pleasant, fighting with people or... It's always violence. I'm banging around, I'm moving around the bed. And I suppose my only saving grace is that I have sleep apnea as well. And I have the sleep apnea machine on. So the lead after that is a kind of stretched far enough that if I go too violently in the bed, it would pull the mask and it would wake me. Mm. Now, up to 8 months ago, actually, my nights were absolutely horrific. And I often remember saying to Helena, who's my wife, and she's full-time carer for me. She drives me everywhere, but I can still do a lot of things for myself. I'd always go to bed and I'd say, I wonder what hell am I going to know? And I never realized that. I once said there was a cure for it, but there was something to make it a lot easier.
And what was that, Kevin?
My hearing. And it turned out by complete accident that I was at a conference. I was actually speaking in Dunleary one night. And I came out and I was talking to this girl by the name of Sarah Crimmin from Hidden Hearing. And Sarah said to me, just came down about your hearing. Has your hearing checked lately? And it brought me back to about 15 years before that, maybe 20. When I had got a job as a project manager on a building site and I had to do a medical, and they taught me at the time, your hearing is not what it should be.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on it. I completely forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, to make a long story short, I got my hearing checked and sure, my hearing was very bad. Now, I kind of had realized that I had a problem. And what happens is that if I'm talking to you and you're asking me questions, you'll get people like me will get embarrassed saying, can you repeat that? What did you say? Can you say that again? You get embarrassed by saying that. And then I had a little trick where I would go on your facial expressions. So if you were telling a funny story, I'd be letting on to be laughing and knowing what you're saying. And vice versa, if you're telling a sad story, I'd put on a sad face, not having a clue what you were saying. So I found the easiest way was to withdraw from, say, going to the pub and there'd be a match on.
And would that be consciously, or did you just find yourself, you know, making these decisions one small decision at a time and then finding yourself more reclusive?
A very good point. I think I would actually have made them one decision at a time, you know, because I found that the last game I had attended before I got my hearing aids, I just said, I can't handle this noise. And I can't have a conversation even with the guy next to me. So instead of going even for a cup of coffee to the restaurant, when the restaurant would be busy in the morning, I'd wait and I'd go in the afternoon. Instead of going for a pint at 8 or 9 o'clock, I'd go for a pint at 3 or 4 o'clock. When I got my hearing aids in, it was like, I never thought that this day could come. Because when a person like me, especially with Lewy body dementia, when you accept the disease, you accept that you're going to have cognitive decline and it may come slower and slower and slower. So it's all part of it. But the day I left the hidden hearing clinic with my hearing aids, I have full and perfect hearing again.
But let me ask you, Kevin, is it clear to explain or for us to understand why being able to hear better improved your symptoms of Lewy body dementia? Like, did it alleviate the sleeping issues? Did it alleviate the hallucinations? And if so, has it been explained to you as to why?
Well, it became very apparent to me very, very quickly. Because when I'd get up in the morning, if there was no one in the house, if the room was completely quiet, and I mean by no television, no radio, or anything on, the first thing I would have to do in the morning, we'd put on background noise, because the noise inside my head would drive me insane. It was like little springs going off. It was like a nest of bees in the distance that you couldn't get rid of. But when I put in the hearing aids now in the mornings, they play a little tune. They're actually in.
You can't see them. Yeah, I see them now. Yep. Very discreet.
They're called in hearing for a reason.
Ah. Marketing geniuses.
I love it. But I can get up in the morning now and I don't need to turn on the radio. I don't need to turn on the television.
So you were saying that it plays an ambient noise, does it? Like a white noise, a filler noise?
It does. It's like a little tune.
Yeah.
Which, as the hearing ear goes into each ear, pretty much you've it in the right way and it can hear you and you can hear it.
I get you.
You know, and if it's raining outside and the rain is lashing off the window, the very minute you put in the hearing aids, I can hear the rain. I'll come up, I won't even think about putting on a television or putting on a radio.
So was your mind then, your brain, and the brain is a complex thing and we really don't understand how it works, was your brain thinking it was helping you by filling in blanks?
Oh, there's no question about that.
Yeah, it was saying, right, Kevin needs to be hearing something, or Kevin needs to be seeing something, or Kevin needs to be stimulated some way. Let's throw a car that isn't there, or let's throw a person that isn't there, or a sound that isn't there. And it's almost like then the hearing aids have sort of switched that brain function off. In other words, it doesn't feel it needs to do that any longer.
No, it kind of brought it back to as much... It brought it back to where it said, sorry, Lewy body dementia, this is one battle you're after losing. You can't take away his hearing. But the knock-on effect by that by day is I don't have to pick and choose where I go because of whether there'll be a cloud there or not. Mm. I can pick and choose where I go depending on whether I want to go or not.
I get you. And what we're really exploring here as well too is that it's also that the importance hearing has in just more than we believe. And also, too, I wonder, Kevin, I'm not sure if this is in your expertise area, but, you know, dependent on the extent of your dementia or how it manifests itself or what have you, you might not be able to self-advocate. I wonder then if you're a carer or someone with dementia, is it worth then, if you haven't already, getting the hearing checked or getting hearing aids just in case it blunts or offsets certain elements of the condition? I don't know.
I've heard so many people say that their dad or their mum or whoever it is that has dementia are so agitated.
Yeah.
And if I was a gambling man, I'd put on half that agitation to it. They can't understand properly what the person is saying. And like, again, I come back to hidden hearing. There's 85 clinics all over Ireland and they do free hearing tests. For God's sake, I think everyone over 40 should get their hearing checked. But the biggest factor for me is, and remember now, I don't wear the hearing aids in bed at night. I take the hearing aids out and put them into their recharging unit. And I have background noise on when I'm going into bed.
Yeah.
I watch a TV program or something on my iPhone. So I fall asleep to background noise. But the frequency of the nightmares that I was telling you about and the type of nightmare I have, the absolutely horrible nightmares I have gone down by a minimum of 75%.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping way better. But my wife, who's my carer, is benefiting.
It's funny. I was on the tip of my tongue was going to say, you know who the big winner here is? It's Helena.
Big time. But
there's something too, though, Kevin. And I think I hate to be sexist or use tropes or whatever. But I know from seeing in my own life is that I think particularly guys can be reluctant to go down the get the ears checked or maybe consider hearing aids. As I say, I've seen it in myself in that it's sort of some sort of a defeat to time or age or something like that there. But I think a lot of the negative attitude towards hearing aids, especially now that they're so discreet in many cases, has gone a little bit. The stigma, if you know what I mean. And I think it really is important, isn't it, that we do get our ears checked. And if we need a little bit of assistance, you know, why not?
Well, I think any single person over the age of 40 should go and get your hearing checked. Don't put it off. Make the appointment today, because I'm not a medical expert. Let's get that very, very clear and out in the open right now. But if you get your hearing checked, and if you need hearing aids, for God's sake, use them. Because they may prevent you from even getting dementia. But if you have dementia or early onset dementia, it will definitely arrest and slow down the progress of it.
Yeah, and we'd hope that's certainly been your experience, but we hope everyone could enjoy those types of benefits. Kevin, listen, I'm really pleased to hear that, I'm very pleased to hear that things have improved somewhat for you and for your very caring wife, Helena. And, you know, who's to say that this conversation might lead to some people, the penny dropping for them and it making a big change in their lives as well? We can only hope.
Hopefully.
All right. And yes, Kevin, go ahead.
There is a study out called SENSCOG, and I'd ask people to look it up. It's SENSCOG. It's absolutely brilliant. And that's not just for Ireland, that's for all over Europe.
Okay, listen, and that was all thanks to your interaction with that lady from Hidden Hearing. Interesting stuff. Take care of yourself. Thank you so very much indeed, Kevin Quaid there. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. A listener says, our local GA club has started charging €2 for children to train, which could be 2 to 3 times a week. I've got 4 children, so that's at least €16 a week for going to GEA training. Do other clubs do this? Well, okay, you can see how very quickly the cost adds up there. 4 kids, €2 per child to train, 2 or 3 times a week. Do the maths, I get where you're coming from. I can understand why there has to be charges, but I don't know enough about that to make any commentary at all. Anyone out there got a view, let us know. Anyone looking for an office chair will find one dumped along the road between Glenveigh and Garton. The mind boggles. It really does. Why? So frustrating. Good morning. They should have put a bus lane into Letterkenny between the roundabout, not a cycle lane. No one's going to use it. Cheers. Greg, I listen with interest to how people talk about Irish culture. Can anyone describe what our current Irish culture is? Yes, it's easy. It's an easy pace of life, our indulgence in drugs and alcohol, our humour. There is an eroded Christianity view now. We are much more multicultural now. Most of the damage done to our Irish culture was done by Irish people. I just feel we need a new definition of it, and now is a good time to do it. I'm not really sure. How do you define Irishness? I often see, you know, Christianity used as an example, but you do look at the churches and they are pretty sparsely attended and what have you. I mean, look at our attitude often sometimes, not everyone, but, you know, Holy Communion, confirmation and weddings are sometimes the only times a lot of us are in places of worship. So is it Christianity? Is it beyond that? I don't know. But listen, let's have the conversation ourselves here. What is do you see as Irish culture, and what do you see as the actual threat to it, and what do you see Ireland as in the future? And not, you know, based on what other people say and what you feel genuinely within yourself. There are 40 clubs, each of whom set their own charges for training, says this listener, within their club executive. Any queries regarding individual clubs would need to go to that club. The caller should first ascertain if a limit exists in the club. For example, €2 per child or €5 per family. Some of us, though, and I get why people might go, well, you should, but some of us fear sort of going to authority or the powers that be, confrontation or what have you. Maybe it's easier sometimes to text the show and use groupthink and group knowledge. A caller believes citizenship is too easy to acquire in Ireland. Just live here for a few years and hey presto, you're an Irish citizen. It's not a law of nature that one becomes Irish by living in Ireland. I get where you're coming from, but Irish citizenship and Irishness, perhaps some would see it as two separate things, that all of a sudden, because you have Irish citizenship, you do not become Irish. You might become, you might use two things, you know, like African-American, you might use Indian-Irish, Nigerian-Irish. Get a parasite cleanse. I'm a wellness advocate. You can book an appointment with a kinesiologist. I don't know what that is or what's that actually relating to. So my apologies. Right, lots of conversation about posters again. We try and mix it up a little bit so we're not going on about the same things all the time, but we got so many in on posters that I do want to recap on a couple of them. It is democratic to be able to spend more than the poorer candidates and poster everywhere and have a party machine behind you with social media experts and even psychologists driving your campaign. That's a question, sorry. Is it democratic, they ask. Good morning, Greg. I'm sure at this stage everyone knows who they're getting to vote. They're going to vote for. Not a big fan of the posters, but don't mind them either. But why don't the council allocate an area so that people can put up their posters and people will see them instead of posters on every lamppost from here to hell in Letterkenny? Right. I believe I can say good morning to Miles Jupps. Good morning to you, Miles. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thanks. How's it going?
Good. Good to have you on the show, and we look forward to welcoming you to Ballybuffet. It's part of your tour of Ireland. Off the back of 40-odd shows in Britain, how's it being received so far?
Yeah, I'm having a nice time, thank you. Yeah, I think I'm into the 50s now, I reckon. Sort of January I started, so I've been enjoying it. But yeah, trying to get match fit for Ireland.
Yeah, you're busy. Busy not just touring, in between touring as well.
Yeah, trying to. I mean, I've got 5 children, so that keeps me fairly busy.
Keeps you motivated.
Yeah, you get in the car on a Monday and you're pretty knackered having not worked over the weekend. But I'm looking forward to this. I had a sort of, the tour was going to go on to June, and then there was this gap, and I said I don't really want a gap to the promoter. Is there any way that we can have some gigs in Ireland? And and he went to work, and yes, I'm really excited. I've got 7 now, I think. So I can't wait. Really, it's a sort of storytelling show, I guess, about being ill. As a result of the expert work of others not being ill.
Yeah, talk to us about that, because I think comedians often do, and often it's some of the best material when they sort of, you know, reflect on something that they know about.
Yeah, I think there's sometimes a thing as a comedian, you end up sort of generating kind of rage because you need some kind of, you need to create stuff. With this, I had a brain seizure, and as a result of that, discovered I had a mercifully benign brain tumor, and then I had to have brain surgery. So the show, I guess, is a response to the question, gosh, what was that like? And it's an intense experience, but it's a thing that you're genuinely reflect on. It's not a manufactured experience. You're not pretending to be really cross about croissants or trains or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I have spoken to a number of comedians in the past, and say, for instance, they've written a show about a breakup or the loss of a family, and I always think it must be quite difficult to talk about some such serious subject matter, but invite people to come along and share the story and have a laugh along the way.
Yeah, I guess there's that thing about, I suppose, any kind of vulnerability as well. You're sort of opening yourself up, and that thing of kind of, maybe trying to help people see things from your perspective, I guess. And also when it's, something that kind of matters to you or has been an intense experience, I kind of guess in a way that's the thing that it's easier to tie on to. People have been ill themselves, I have family members and friends who have been ill and stuff, and it's really like explaining an experience like that from your perspective. But also, if I'm telling a story, I sort of try and tell it in the funny way, I guess. If I was a sort of a songwriter, or I wrote sort of maudlin short stories, I guess I could have done that sort of that kind of approach to it. But this happens to be the way that I do stuff. And also, if you've got children, if you have an experience like that, you want to tell them about it, but you don't want to say, now listen, I've just been through the most terrifying experience I've ever had in my life, and I want you to relive it with me. Yeah. You try and think, well, what were the funny bits? What was weird?
It's all right for Taylor Swift. She could just hand the kids an album and say, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to write a bloody show and get up on stage 50 nights a year.
Taylor Swift, apparently, I nearly said Taylor Swift told me. That's not true. I've never said Taylor Swift. A friend of mine told me Taylor Swift, to prepare for her tour, she basically sang her set list whilst on the treadmill.
Yes.
Every day for months, and I've not done that, but I have sort of wandered around muttering bits of it. So in a way, that's why I feel we're part of the same tradition.
I've never seen the two of you in the one room at the same time.
I reckon say that.
I think too, and I'm not saying it's exclusively an Irish thing, but particularly an Irish thing, that often we deal with more challenging things in life by getting together, and B, by having a laugh.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I think that thing, being able to talk through something, is makes such an enormous difference to how you respond to an experience. And if you can talk through it in a way that's sort of accessible or fun, if people aren't sort of, oh, this is a conversation we've got to have and I'm absolutely dreading it, you think, oh, we'll have quite a funny conversation about that thing that we need to have a conversation about. So that's kind of, in a way, partly one of the reasons I was very keen to bring this show to Ireland, is the sense that it is a sort of storytelling show. And I look at some of the venues I'm doing, really, really sort of small, intimate places. And I think it's really, I like that feeling of walking on stage with, kind of nothing's happened yet. And it's the slightly, I don't know if you're into zip lines, but that thing when you jump off the platform, that's kind of what the beginning of the show feels like to me. Because you think, this is definitely the thing that we're doing. We have to, now we've started, we have to tell this story.
That. Yeah, and I think too, if it's, as I say, you are a comedian and there's a lot of humour in there, but if it is kind of like a personal story, the more intimate the crowd, presumably the better it fits. Like performing this in Wembley, I mean, it'd be lovely to get the gates, don't get me wrong. But do you know what I mean? I think it lends itself quite well to the likes of the Ballads of Theatre, which is a beautiful theatre for such a thing. As I mentioned beforehand, you're always very, very busy. You work in TV, radio, author. You were in The Full Monty recently, the reboot in Disney Plus. We're going to see you in the Belgravia sequel soon. There's a lot to juggle there. Is there an area of your art that you prefer doing over another? Like, say, for instance, getting out the stage, does that give you a relief from the constant takes on set, or is it a nightmare? Do you get anxious? Or what way do you view the different elements of your career?
Well, I hopefully they kind of help each other out in a way. I mean, this show, I haven't done a stand-up show for 7 years, but I'd done a one-person play and I'd done another touring play and lots of sort of filming jobs, and I kind of feel that this show benefits from having done all of those. I mean, I really like working in a team, I must say. The thing I used to sort of enjoy about panel shows was kind of the sort of group aspect of it, kind of bouncing off each other. I didn't like that sort of wait till it's my turn and then say a string of funny things. I kind of liked the back and forth element of it. And I do love being part of an ensemble or whatever. I watch outtakes of the American Office and sort of feel envious of these people that get to sort of spend all day together just bouncing this amazing material around. And so with this, I've got a director who's someone I've worked with a lot, so I particularly like the sessions when we've been talking about the show back and forward and whatever. But the actual moment when you're on stage is it's so exciting, and I kind of feel it's such an important thing to go and do. You can get a little bit complacent just doing other things, whereas this feels sort of like proper work. And because it's a story that, it is a kind of it is really satisfying. So I guess I like doing the mix of things. And there's sometimes I've had a thing where whatever I'm doing, I want to be doing the other thing. This show I've particularly enjoyed, and that's why I've kept sort of adding.
Exactly. It's a huge commitment, a ton of shows, and we really, really look forward to welcoming you to Bala Buffet, to the Bala Theatre. Tickets are available from the box office now. You're here on the 27th of June. I know you know that. I'm just telling the listeners. And we look forward to welcoming you here to the Northwest, and hopefully for a bit of time to explore a little bit too, Miles. You'll love it.
Yeah, these are all places I want to see. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Continued good health, continued success. Thank you so much for your time.
Bless you. Thank
right,
you.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself.